This week's episode of The Dive is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. For nearly 30 years, Pelican Brewing has crafted the most balanced tasting brews. Now, they're bringing the same satisfying taste to hop-infused sparkling water with zero alcohol and zero calories. Sparkle Hops is a hop and fruit-infused new way to elevate your everyday. Expertly brewed from hops in two flavors, Citra hop-infused sparkling water with lemon and Strata hop-infused sparkling water with acai. Start with a sip and breeze away with the balance of quality hops, ripe fruit, and punchy fizz. Refreshment, it's a Pelican thing. Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show. What does your Portland look like? The city looks different to everyone. Someone living on 86th and Burnside is definitely seeing a different landscape than someone whose home is nestled in the West Hills. St. John's looks a lot different than Buckman, looks a lot different than Woodstock, looks a lot different than Lloyd. We all know that. But even though Portland has the sheen of an eccentric outlier, when compared to other cities its size, a different story shakes out. In this week's edition, we learned that Portland is whiter, older, and has more bachelor degrees than other similar cities. It has also effectively eliminated affordable housing, and housing in general remains stalled in a one-in, one-out, club-is-at-capacity type of situation, and failures in leadership and government scream from the streets of downtown, from the windy banks of the Columbia Riverwalk, or from the far north end of MLK, where a caravan of RVs has become its own de facto neighborhood. It's Saturday, December 24th, and this is episode 103 of The Dive. In this week's edition of Willamette Week, the news team aggregated stats from a number of cities comparable in size and population to Portland to see how we measure up. Nigel Jaquess will join me in one moment to discuss the greater meanings of all these stats, but first, here's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. The Department of Justice will investigate allegations of mismanagement at Brown Hope, the social justice nonprofit founded by local activist Cameron Witten. Poor record-keeping and infrequent board meetings are the primary allegations. The most trafficked story on the Willamette Week website this year was about an abandoned church of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as Mormons. That empty church signified what might be an exodus of Mormons away from Portland. Dozens of readers contacted the paper to complain about author and Utah Mormon descendant Lucas Manfield's use of the word Mormon, a term which the church has apparently disavowed. Hate clicks are still clicks, so I don't know, stay mad. Not all weed will send you into a munchy tailspin. This week, I compiled a list of cannabis strains high in THCV, an energizing cannabinoid that studies have shown to be an effective appetite suppressant. Now, let's unpack this week's cover package, How We Rate, with Nigel Jaquess.
Some of the key yardsticks that we looked at are our rental vacancy rate, the median cost of a single-family home, number of murders, number of police, the cost of living, measured a couple of different ways, but also some finer metrics like the percentage of people who have a college degree, the percentage of people who are born in this country or elsewhere, the percentage of people who identify as white only. Just a bunch of different snapshots of ways to look at this community and compare it to cities that we either aspire to be like or are just sort of are geographically like.
Mm-hmm. So in the article, it mentioned that this is something like a reflection that happens every year at the paper. What does Portland in 2022 look like compared to Portland in 2021, 2020, et cetera?
One of the, for me, one of the biggest differences, and we've seen it, you know, sort of accelerate in the pandemic, is I have been to paper for almost 25 years. I've written a couple of stories over the years about Portland's unusually low murder rate, and unhappily that is no longer something we can write about. In fact, one of the things that really caught my eye this year is that we've had, as of press date, 95 murders in the city of Portland. Regularly for many years, we were around 30, often below 30. Just to benchmark us this year, Seattle, which is a larger city, has had 56 murders. Denver, which is a larger city, has had 70 murders. Those are two cities that we often compare ourselves to. So something, you know, something has really gone off the rails in terms of the homicide rate in this city.
Yeah. Yeah, regarding those crime stats, what was the most shocking comparison that the team saw?
Well, one of the ones that caught my eye, because another city that Portland often likes to consider itself similar to, is Austin, and our car theft rate is vastly higher, just an absolute number, than Austin's is, even though Austin is nearly, it's more than 1.5 times our size. So our car theft rate is multiples of theirs. We are far smaller than they are.
Wow. Is it the catalytic converter connection, do you think?
You know, we've had a persistently high rate of car theft. The legislature has tried to, they have made some changes that were meant to address that. It obviously hasn't yet worked. I think actually part of the explanation will lie in another indicator that we may talk about, and that's the extraordinarily low rate of rental vacancies in the city.
Yeah. So I noticed that office vacancies were more or less in line with other mid-sized cities, but our residential vacancies are, whew, oh my goodness, so scant. Are we on track to turn that number around?
No.
No.
We have a, if you were to ask me what is the single most eye-catching and disturbing number in this package, which again has well over a dozen indicators, it is the fact that our rental vacancy rate is lower than 2%. In Seattle, it's 5.5%. In Denver, it's almost 7%. Even in San Diego, where it's sunny and nice all year round, the rental vacancy rate is substantially higher than ours. So the single, you know, the single biggest outlier, I think, is the just the abject failure of Oregonians to produce enough housing in all categories. We often talk about affordable housing, and that's a, you know, that's a term of art. It refers to housing that is subsidized by the government for people below certain levels of income. But we have failed to produce enough housing at any level. One of the really interesting kind of connections for me is that, although of all the cities we looked at, Portland's population declined the most over the past 12 months, about 1.7%. Not only did our vacancy rate stay the lowest, but our home prices actually went up in that time, unlike many of the cities we looked at, which either were flat or slightly down. So even though there are a lot of problems here, we talked about the murder rate, we haven't yet talked about the rate of homelessness, people still really want to be here. The problem is we're not creating enough housing for them to be here.
Yeah. That population decline, is it, do you think it's primarily people moving, or is it people passing on?
Well, great question. We are in a funny situation where we're one of a relatively few number of states who have a natural population decline at this point. And that means that in Oregon, more people are dying each year than are being born. So we're dependent on net migration from other states and other countries for population growth. And so, you know, what we saw was what we saw was about a 1.7% decline. It's hard to know exactly because we don't have birth and death figures broken out for Portland proper. But I think, no, it is people. The impression I've gotten from talking to demographers is that it's people moving out.
All right. So in regards to housing, I noticed that we were like right up against Denver, it seemed like, in a way. Like our living wage is $110,000 a year, but minimum wage is $1,475. but they have a higher incidence of homelessness there. And I was wondering what the key differences are.
Well, you know, that's interesting. The Denver metro area, metro population area, is larger than Portland's. And the county that Denver City is located in is also called Denver. And it's relatively, it's a smaller part of the metro area than Multnomah County is, if that makes sense. So, in other words, there are more urban counties in the Denver metro region than there are in this region. And I think that may account for part of it, but Denver has many of the same challenges that Portland has in terms of it hasn't created, it's really boomed. Denver is more of a boom town than Portland, but it hasn't created enough housing. So, and it's expensive. So Denver, you know, I think I don't take solace from the fact that Denver's rate of houselessness is higher than ours, but I think it is important for people to understand that as frustrated as we may become with our elected officials, that we're not unique. Our rate of houselessness is the second highest in the comparator group that we drew up, but the rate in California cities and in King County, Washington, where Seattle is just nearly as high as Portland's. And I think in some, you know, in some zip codes in LA County and in San Diego County, it's higher. So that doesn't make it any better for the people who are sleeping outside in this terrible weather. We aren't the only city by any means that's facing this challenge.
Yeah. So the team compared different cities' Wheelers, people named Wheeler. Hey, leave me out of it. Thank you very much.
Yes.
What, in your opinion, what was Wheeler's worst gaffe this year?
Boy, there were a lot of Wheeler gaffes, and so for people who haven't read the package yet, when we sat around as a staff and talked about this, you know, we sort of said, well, we're asking people to eat a lot of spinach and broccoli here. There are a lot of pretty dry numbers, and many people may find that many numbers hard to digest and may find the shocking lack of humor in many numbers off-putting. So one of our reporters chased down a Wheeler in each of the comparator cities, and, you know, there were disgraced politicians who've done things worse than Ted Wheeler. There were plastic surgeons. There were lawyers. There were all kinds of Wheeler dealers. But, you know, look, I think we want to be clear that our Wheeler, Mayor Ted Wheeler, bears a lot of responsibility for the situation that the state is in. I'm sorry, that the city is in, not the state. You know, we have had other cities have seen their murder rates go up. Ours has probably gone up more than just about any. Certainly in the peer groups, our rate of when Mayor Wheeler ran the first time 6 years ago, he talked about making a very visible material difference in the number of people sleeping outside unsheltered, and that hasn't happened. And, you know, I think one of the underlying themes of this year and of the past couple of years is that the citizens and non-citizens and taxpayers and people who don't pay any taxes, everybody in this metro area really wants the same thing, which is for people to have a safe, warm place to sleep, especially in the wintertime. And, you know, our failure, our collective failure to address the houselessness crisis in this community is an absolute scandal and a shame. And Mayor Wheeler bears significant responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm. When you're pulling all this data together to put this package together, what's the most fascinating thing that you learned? What's the most, you know, compelling thing that came up out of all that data?
I can't really get past the rate of vacancy, the 1.8% vacancy rate, which is really pretty much zero. That basically means there are no vacancies, because when you think about, you know, the natural turnover as tenants leave, come and go, a 1.8% rental vacancy rate means there are no vacancies. And why I think it's so significant, there are a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, shelter is a basic human need, and we don't have enough of it. Portland has been a very popular, attractive place for decades. The real boom years were the 90s. So policymakers at the city, at the county, at the state level have known for, 30 years that there is a steady stream of people who want to move here because of all the things that many of us find attractive about Portland. And they've just really failed. They hold the levers of creating more housing through permitting, through financing mechanisms, through tax incentives. There are a variety of ways that our elected officials can act to create more housing or to incentivize the creation of more housing, and they just haven't done it. And I don't think there's anything else in this package or any other public policy issue that is more important than that. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, and we didn't really talk much about our also shockingly bad response to untreated mental illness and substance abuse disorder, but they're all related. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of people who don't have a place to sleep turn to drugs or alcohol for solace, and a lot of people who may have a mild mental illness have that mental illness exacerbated by not having a place to live. I mean, can you imagine not knowing where you were going to sleep tonight when it's below freezing, or having to sleep outside? It would make any small situation a big situation.
Yeah. What was left out of the package?
Well, I do think, and I was actually reading a report today, a new report about how we deal with substance abuse disorder or don't deal with it. And I always say abuse disorder, substance use disorder, SUD, how we don't really deal with it effectively. And so I think that it would have been nice and appropriate to have had a couple of indicators of how we're failing our citizenry in those two very important areas, the availability of mental health services and the availability of services for people who have a substance use disorder. So I think those were left out. We'll be writing about those a lot in the coming year. So I think you have this real paradox. Things are not great. In fact, they're pretty bad by some indicators, and yet people still really want to live here. Mm-hmm. That you see that. You see the high murder rate, or you see the lack of available housing, and yet you see home prices going up. And part of the reason there's a lack of available housing is people keep coming here. Yes, we had a population decline last year, but we had a population decline and we didn't build a whole lot of new housing, so the situation didn't get better. So I think it's like a teeter-totter. Things are, all the conditions for this to be one of the great places to live in this country or in any country are present, and yet we're not managing the incredible resources and assets that we have very effectively.
Yeah. Are there any bright spots?
Plenty of bright spots. I think one of them is that we have a highly educated population. We're not as good as Seattle, where I think 65%, about two-thirds of people have college degrees, but it's in the low 50s here. That's much, much higher than the national average, which is still only about a third. And college degree isn't everything, and there are many people who are successful without them, but it's the greatest indicator of having a life in which you can afford a place to live and healthcare and to send your children to school in a safe neighborhood is having a college degree. So we have continued to attract people from other places because the city of Portland's populace has a much higher level of education than Oregon as a whole, or than the nation as a whole. So I think that's a real bright spot. People who are coming here are people who are attracted to this area and I think want to make it better. So I don't see the kind of, the kind of low level of education or the big time exodus of people from this area that would make me worry that we're another Detroit or another Cleveland or Baltimore.
Big
Thanks to this week's guest, Nigel Jaquess, and thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, bye! Happy holidays!